I offer my respectful obeisances to the Gita, which was spoken by the Lord, who is endowed with perfect qualities. It is a work by which the ocean of ignorance meets its complete end, by which pure bhakti becomes fully nourished to the highest degree, and by which the supreme truth, normally difficult to understand, becomes eternally manifest. So welcome back to our Bhagavad Gita class. I hope you all had a happy Janmashtami and Radhashtami. Today we'll have a little bit of a short class. I just returned. Any realizations from our chapter 8? Did anyone, how did you like that chapter, first of all? It's wonderful. Actually, that's my favorite.
There is a process of start from hearing.
Yes. From hearing to what? From hearing to?
Remembrance.
To remembrance. Yes, the stress on remembrance. Which is very important for us to understand, yeah, as we practice our devotional service. It's not enough to just engage our senses in devotional service. We have to cultivate this remembrance. This is the actual, you know, process of bhakti. And the more we remember Krishna, the more we will want to be engaged in his service. And the more we will practicing pure devotion if we remember Krishna. This very wonderful practice. Yes, Kunjeshwar, we never hear you. What did you like about this chapter? Kunjeshwar, yes? You like the chapter? What did you like? At the end of life, once you remember Krishna, we have our mission fixed. Therefore, it doesn't remember too much all the daily competitions, all the daily, you know, all this. And many times we get busy with, you know, trying to figure out who's the best and all these things. But actually they have no significance. The only important thing is how one is learning to remember Krishna. That person is the best who remembers Krishna. Anything else about this chapter? It's too long ago. Yes, Rukmini.
I really liked how in the first location was describing the spiritual world. When I read the verse, I was going to the next one. And the Prabhupada and the Prabhupada, he has been spiritual world of Krishna's.
Yeah, Krishna reveals his dharma. Because if we remember Krishna, he says, you will come to me. So he reveals his dharma, which is eternal, sanatana, beyond the material universe. But he doesn't say much about it. Just a few little things he says. It's eternal, unchangeable.
He
gives us the highlight. Yes, he gives us the main highlight. And then Prabhupada, that's his mood, his mercy, his mission to actually contribute more knowledge and explain to us. So we go to the dham, and in the dham we will meet Krishna in a beautiful atmosphere. Yes. Yes?
And Krishna mentioned also the yogis who are not successful, there's a guru, and Prabhupada said this is not devotee, are not worried about these things because they know already the Lord will be dedicated by devotional service.
After hearing the whole process of Ashtanga Yoga, which was so complicated and difficult, not only it was complicated and difficult, but if in the end you miss the right time, you're doomed. That was just to discourage us, final smashing of that process. But if you miss the point, the time, that somehow or other, because these are material processes, it's mixed with some material process. The point is, of course, the remembrance has to be there. If there is no remembrance proper, the yogi will not even get out of this universe, or you may go to the Brahmajyoti. But even wherever he wants to go, there is a dependence on time and on the demigods. So, yeah, that made it. But the devotee is not subject to this kind of restriction. Yes. Yes, it is an important chapter because it tells us some truth there. It's not enough to just do our duty. It's not enough. We have to remember Krishna. Both have to be there. We have to have both together. And the remembrance, that's what will make the difference. Because if we serve Krishna directly, then he will help us remember. Will help us, but we have to cultivate that remembrance. And I was saying that the more we get involved with cultivating, and this smarana is generally devotional service, but it is part of the internal cultivation of devotional service. And yes, this is what is the difference between an advanced devotee and another devotee who just came or whatever, is that the advanced devotee seems to be doing the same thing, but he remembers at the same time. Whereas the neophyte devotee may be doing a lot of service, but doesn't think of Krishna too much. But that makes a very big difference in the position of the consciousness, in the state of consciousness, the whole point of view that evolves from that state of consciousness. Very, very different. Yes, that's very good. Who else?
Yes? The fact that we have to force our mind to think.
Yeah, in the beginning we have to go by force. Until the taste comes, until some attraction comes, we have to go by force. We have to force the remembrance. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's him. Yes. Expansion. Well, it's both. It's him. It's his expansion. But Prabhupada also said that for the devotees, we are connected directly to Krishna, and so. Someone asked one time, Prabhupada, if I see the Paramatma, am I going to see four arms? Prabhupada said, no, you will not see four arms. Because the devotees, they are already connected to Krishna. They are already liberated to a great extent. And the more we advance, the less we have to do with the Paramatma. But it is the Paramatma in one sense, but it's also difficult for us to understand the non-difference. What is an expansion and what is... One time I gave an example, you know, that, for example, here we are sitting, I don't know, 20 people or so, we are sitting in this room, and because we are all individual souls, so if somebody eats a sweet or a piece of prasadam, he only will know what the taste is, and he only will enjoy that eating and so on. But if all these persons sitting here were expansions of the Lord, then it's very different, because it says Krishna enjoys through all his expansions. He enjoys through all his expansions. It's all him who is he's enjoying through all his expansions. So there's no separation from him between the Vishnu and the Narayan and this one, that one. It's all him. It's the same person. It's the same person. We are different persons, but it's the same person. It's not that one Paramatma in Prema Tarangini's heart has to tell the Paramatma in somebody else's heart. You know? It's the same person. The same person is in one heart, the same person is in another heart. It's beyond, as it said, it's achintya. It's beyond our comprehension. We don't know what to do with it, how to understand it. Yes?
From in this material world, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, it's only misery that we did at birth and death. And that one who attains his abode, he will never come again.
So we felt encouraged?
Yes.
Who wants to stay here? Yeah, we should be convinced. Because we need that conviction to find the determination to actually practice. As long as we are optimistic about this world, there will be no determination. We will try to make a little niche somewhere, a little comfortable place somewhere. But it's not possible. Can be blown out away at any moment. Yes?
I also really like the way you describe how to fix the constant check in the life. Because that is what is ultimately when you practice the practice.
Yes. Very nice, yes. The process of chanting has to enter the deeper and deeper layers of our subtle being, so that the vibration becomes fixed on the subtle platform. Yes, very nice. Anything else? Yes? The standard of pure bhakti was given for the first time in 14. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And from the ninth chapter is going to be all about that ananya bhakti. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes. It's a fruit of the chanting and hearing. Yes?
Prabhupada in one prayer wrote that Mahatmas can receive the knowledge only through the pure devotee realized form.
Okay.
He will strengthen our determination of knowledge and give us good reason to go from here.
Okay, one more.
Krishna made clear about the purpose of baby girl washing. And at the end of this chapter, he made it clear also that especially if anyone in this interior might have a complete idea. So he made clear in a last sloka, he said that if anyone in a path of devotion, so he won't be not stopping from this all kinds of activity, he'll get all benefit whatever he mentioned in the scripture.
Right. Yeah, the process of bhakti gives all the benefits of all the other processes. Yes, the devotee gets all what he needs to live in this world and to serve Krishna. We gave the example of Prabhupada, who became really so rich, but he didn't put the money in his name, but he was controlling. So, and we saw also liberation, knowledge. There's a story. Srila Prabhupada, one time he was I think in a train station somewhere here in India. I don't know which train station. He was in a train station, and some man was challenging him on the platform. And he was saying that, so one who knows Krishna knows everything? So Prabhupada said, yes, one who knows Krishna knows everything. So, and then the man, he saw one train was coming, and so he said, do you know how many bogies are in this train? And Prabhupada said, I don't remember the number, he said, but he gave a number like 32. Is it possible? 32? No, that's too long. Huh? Not possible. It must have been something like 15. I don't remember the number. So Prabhupada gave the number, 15. And then they started counting. The train was passing. 1, 2, 3, 4. And guess what? There were 15 bogies. So the man was like, wow, oh, Namo Namaha. Swamiji, please excuse me. So, and then this man left, and all the devotees were startled, and they went, Prabhupada, how did you know there were 15 bogies in the train? And then Prabhupada said, he said, when I was a Grihastha, many times I sat on this platform. And this was like not long before, it was when he came back to India, like in the beginning of the 70s. So he said, when I was a Grihastha, many times I sat on this platform waiting for the train. And so I used to observe the train and count the bogies. So he said, that particular train always had 15 bogies. So, this is the pure devotion of the pure devotee, useful at any time. Alright, so we'll go into this ninth chapter, a very important chapter for us because we are seekers of devotion. This chapter 9 is actually, Prabhupada says, the most confidential knowledge, because that's what Krishna says, guhyatamam jnanam, guhyatamam. Guhya means confidential, secret. And there are three words in Sanskrit. There is guhya, which is hidden or confidential, secret. And then there is guhyatara, which means more confidential. And here we have guhyatamam. So when there is tama, it means always there is the most confidential knowledge. Like the other day we talked of the purusha, the purushatara and the purushatama. So most confidential knowledge, it is considered to be the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. If one wants to know what the Bhagavad Gita is about, they can just read this chapter only. No need to look at the others. In Sanskrit it is called Raj Guhya Yoga. Raj Guhya. This name is taken from the second verse, which says Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam. It's the king of all secret, the most secret of all secrets. So it is very wonderful. Srila Prabhupada on page 450, he says in the beginning of the purport, this chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the king of education because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he explains that Krishna has been revealing knowledge step by step, from confidential to more confidential. And this is an explanation also taken from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. So what knowledge was given in second and third chapter? The knowledge of the soul. Yes, the knowledge of the soul. And there was also that knowledge of the fact that we should act, you know, for the goal of understanding that soul, for spiritual purpose. So, and then topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. So in 7 and 8, we saw Krishna started revealing devotional service, and he started revealing himself. And he taught us how we can actually bring about devotional service simply by hearing. We start to hear, you know. And this will bring about that devotional mood, it will bring about devotional activity. So, and he also explained the transformation of the yogi from the Ashtanga platform to the Bhakti platform. So, these chapters here, Prabhupada says, they lead to devotional service. Then, but the matters which are described in the ninth chapter deal with unalloyed, pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. So, whereas in chapter 8 we were still confused with the, you know, because it was mixed with Ashtanga Yoga, it was Yoga Mishra Bhakti, except for 2-3 verses that dealt really with pure devotion, showing that this is the essence, and Ashtanga will not be successful unless there is the focus on Krishna and unless there is the devotion. But in chapter 9, we are finished now, completely finished with the other processes. And this is going to be just bhakti. Rukmini is happy. It's going to be just bhakti. And the bhakti that we are used to. We will hear, anyone knows what processes we are going to hear about in chapter 9? Yeah, Navavida Bhakti. Which ones in particular? Shravanam, Kirtanam, yes, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. That verse, Srila Prabhupada says, is the basis of the Sankirtan movement. We practice the Sankirtan movement on the basis of that shloka, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, which is the same as Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should always chant the glories of Krishna, discuss about Him, and so on. Yes. And then there is another process which is extensively described in chapter 9, which is archana, the process of worship. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. This is the process of archana, that we offer various items to Krishna, and not just like this, but bhaktya, with devotion. So that will also be discussed there. Hearing, chanting, there will be also vandanam. Namaskuru. He says, Namaskuru, you offer your obeisances to me, you offer your prayers to me. So these are all the actual engagements of the devotee. And they spring from hearing. From hearing, we come to know that the material world is an energy of the Supreme Lord. From hearing, we come to know that we are also souls related to Krishna. And we come to know of our conditioned nature. We come to know of the liberated state. We come to know who is the liberator. We come to know about liberation, and we come to know about the process and so on. This all comes from hearing. And not only this, but hearing not only gives us knowledge, but it also purifies our heart. Just as before we heard people purified their heart through giving up the fruit of their activities, people purified their heart by philosophical, speculation, but trying to understand the absolute truth. They purify their heart through austerities and so on. So we heard all this, but the process of bhakti, the whole purification comes from hearing, and then from hearing come all the other different processes of devotional service. So this is a continuation of chapter 8, verse 14, Ananya Cheta Satatam, Yomam Smarati Nityashaha, meaning this is a continuation of that verse explaining pure devotion. We heard in chapter 8 that the pure devotee, one who is a pure devotee, he doesn't have to bother about anything at the time of leaving his body. And we heard how this process of pure devotion, it encompasses all the other processes and it surpasses all the other processes. So now the question comes is, what is it, this Ananya Bhakti? And how to become an Ananya Bhakta? And this is what this chapter is going to be about. How to become an Ananya Bhakta? So there are several, as usual, different divisions of this chapter. From 1 to 3, verse 1 to 3, Krishna tells us about the qualification for hearing purely. Pure hearing. There are some qualifications which has to be there for us to understand things when we hear them. Because Krishna has been speaking and we are hearing, we keep hearing, we go to class, we hear. But whether we understand, that will depend a lot on our own receptivity. So Krishna is going to explain this. What are the factors which make that we will actually grasp what we are hearing? And then from 4 to 10, we will hear of Krishna's inconceivable relationship with the material world. Because in this chapter, Krishna is revealing the process of bhakti, and he is also revealing himself, which is who is the fruit of practicing the realization of the bhakta. Here it says jnana vijnana sahitam, that he is going to explain knowledge, which is knowledge of the process, and also the realization. This is the realization that the ananya bhakta gets. So 4 to 10 is Krishna's inconceivable relationship with the material world. 11 to 19, we are going to hear of the differences between non-worshippers and worshippers. Is this AC a little too cold? No, Sachi Kumar says, never. It's little too cold. Can we put it little down? Is there some control somewhere? Because the temperature has changed a little bit, I think. So it has gone down. So, 11 to 19, differences between non-worshippers and worshippers. Meaning non-devotees and devotees, the difference. Then we have 20 to 25. Comparing the devotees and the demigod worshippers. Comparative study here between these two. Then from 26 to 34, we are going to hear of the glories of Krishna Bhakti. But in summary, we can say that this chapter is about the process of devotional service, and there is a comparison of two kinds of people, those who follow that process and those who do not follow, and the result that they respectively attain. So we will start hearing of this here in the first verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Idam Tute Bhguyatamam Pravaksham Yanusuyave Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam Yadhyatva Mokshase Shubhat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjun, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." So different things here. We hear again of the process of hearing, because he says, "I shall impart unto you." So Arjuna is going to be hearing. We hear about the knowledge itself, what it is that he is going to talk about, this Guhyatamam Jnanam. And we hear of the qualification of the person. So what is this qualification that Krishna is talking about here? What is the word in Sanskrit? Anasuyave. Yeah, Anasuyave, to the non-envious. This is the qualification here. Who will hear well? The one who is not envious. Not envious of whom? Of Krishna. Of the devotees. And in general, yes. But particularly one who is not envious of the devotees, and one who is not envious of Krishna. So, and in general it is understood that for the process of devotional service to work perfectly, both the person who explains and the person who hears should be non-envious. There should be a combination. It's not that the qualities should be only in the hearer. The qualities should be also in the speaker. So we understand from that how important it is that we try to purify ourselves. Because otherwise, when we explain the knowledge, you know, there are two reasons why people don't understand. One is that they are envious, so they can't understand. And the other is that the speaker is not pure, and he's not really giving the knowledge, you know. There are different ways to do things. So, and then Srila Prabhupada gives another, I mean, it's not another, but he explains that in the purport. What does this mean, this non-envious? What is the main thing that Prabhupada explains in the purport about hearing? Prabhupada talks, we said that the other day also, that the only qualification in devotional service is sincerity. Prabhupada says, the Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him the intelligence to understand the signs of Krishna in the association of devotees. So many things are said here. So this sincerity is connected to this non-enviousness. So we engage in devotional service. Now we are amongst devotees. So we are all engaged in devotional service. But Krishna, he knows very well why we are doing it and what our mentality is about. If our mentality is correct, if we are sincere, we don't have any second motive, and if we are friendly to him, so he will give us the intelligence to understand the science. And where and when and how is he going to give us this intelligence? Well, sometimes he's going to speak from within. He's going to give them, it's just going to provide the intelligence from within. But he is also expecting that we are going to get that intelligence in the association of devotees. And he will explain that process in this chapter by discussing amongst themselves and speaking about me. The devotees clarify their knowledge. And the fact that Prabhupada here is stressing the association of devotees, this is also related to non-enviousness. The ability to actually live together, cooperate together, stay peacefully together, it implies that we are becoming non-envious, that the devotees can peacefully serve Krishna together. And this is our test. If we cannot tolerate other people in this lifetime, there's no way that we are going to enter the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world there are many people, many more than here. There's an unlimited number of people, and they are all serving Krishna. And this enviousness has absolutely no space, in no place in the spiritual world. So we have to come to terms with this thing of never being satisfied with our own, always wanting to acquire what others have, or not wanting others to be better than us. You know, this is a disease, it's a sickness. That to be always displeased when we see someone who is successful, you know, and it's like that. Like we see somebody falling down the stairs, we start laughing. It's a funny thing. So this is envy, that we actually do not love others. There is something in the heart which is always inimical, and the root is because I want to be the center. I want to be the one. Yeah, I want to be Krishna. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the center. And the product of this is always deriding others, criticizing others, competing with others, not wishing them well, refusing to cooperate. There are many symptoms of that envy. So Krishna is expecting, you know, he sees us. He sees the mentality when we serve him, and he sees the mentality when we interact with others. How we treat him and how we treat the others also, how we treat the devotees and everyone in general. So that's why the process of Krishna consciousness we heard before, it's actually difficult, Prabhupada was explaining. It's difficult because it's not just a lone endeavor. It's much more difficult than a lone endeavor in the forest. Then Prabhupada says, discussion of Krishna is very potent. And if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, so Prabhupada is talking of the hearing process here. We heard of the qualification should be, you know, sincere, non-envious. We should be able to work with the devotees. Now Krishna also says that one should try to assimilate the knowledge, meaning there has to be an effort. After hearing, we have to try to understand it and we have to try to apply it. Then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this ninth chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. Actually, it is said that from the seventh chapter, Krishna started his bhakti and explaining bhakti. And he started speaking and Arjuna started hearing. So it is said that the bhakti begins with hearing. And when we begin hearing, we are not pure. So we have to continue hearing and hearing and hearing. And what this hearing does is that it brings us to the point of being non-envious. It purifies the heart. And once the purification has taken place to a great extent, then we are capable of engaging in this ananya bhakti, this pure devotional service. So this hearing process, it brings about realization of the soul, realization of the process of Krishna consciousness, and realization of Krishna. And if we are, and it depends on Krishna totally, because he will reciprocate with our sincerity, and if we are sincere, he will give us the intelligence to understand. And he will give us the association of the devotees who will help us in Krishna consciousness. If you remember in chapter 8, Prabhupada had said that we should be searching for the association of the devotees. We shouldn't just be sitting somewhere idle. We should search for that association. We should always be eager, you know, to find the devotees who know about Krishna. We should be eager to sit with them, hear from them, discuss with them. They have the knowledge, and most of the time Krishna is going to give us the knowledge through them. But if we are envious, then this will never happen. Because the first sign of envy is not to want to hear from another. We don't want to hear from another because we are envious. We think we know more, and we cannot be humble to actually sit and hear from others. So this enviousness is going to bar our hearing process. So here Krishna says that I will give you pravakshyami. I will explain. This jnanam, knowledge, which is guhyatamam, the most confidential knowledge. So this knowledge is knowledge of pure devotional service. It's knowledge of navavida bhakti. And it's the knowledge that will bring us to the transcendental platform, beyond the three gunas. Krishna explains what will be the result of that knowledge. Yad yatva mukshyase ashubhat. It will deliver us. Ashubh means, in general, that which is inauspicious. And Prabhupada says this is the material existence. It will bring about the state of liberation. And Prabhupada many times explains that the devotees, even if they are not like fully liberated, but they are already liberated. They are already working on a platform which is beyond the three gunas, in the sense that devotional service itself as an activity is a spiritual activity. And it is not part of material activity. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport that it is very important to understand the spiritual nature of Navavida Bhakti. We have to distinguish this Navavida Bhakti from regular karma. It is different. Prabhupada says, now this first verse has specific significance. The words idam jnanam, this knowledge, refer to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities, hearing, chanting, etc. Then Prabhupada says, one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body. So this Navavida Bhakti is particularly the activity of one who understands that he is not the body. If we actually understand this point, that we are not this body, then we will engage in Navavida Bhakti. And to the extent that we understand that we are not this body, to that extent we will engage in Navavida Bhakti. And to the extent that we are under the bodily concept of life, to that extent we are going to engage in material activities, or, you know, we are going to indirectly serve Krishna. So it is a spiritual activity in itself. So Krishna in this chapter is going to give us that knowledge of the type of activities which are purely spiritual, which have nothing to do with the three gunas, which are not generated by our material sanskaras. They are directly spiritual activities. And guhyatamam, another meaning of guhyatamam is also that this verse is going to speak about the glories of the Lord Himself. Because we also heard at times that confidential, more confidential, most confidential, it means knowledge of the soul, knowledge of Paramatma, and knowledge of Bhagavan. So most confidential it means both the knowledge of Bhagavan and it means the process of devotional service which reveals Bhagavan. Here it says jnanam vijnana sahitam, that he will give us knowledge along with realization. Bhakti is such process in which we said that the parama gati, the supreme destination, is the same as the supreme path. To be engaged in devotional service, we already have achieved the supreme destination, because whatever we do here in service of Krishna, that's what we will do in the spiritual world. there is no difference. We are already on the platform of liberated activity. So this knowledge that he is giving us here, the knowledge of devotional service, it's a knowledge which in itself contains the realization. Regarding that liberation, Prabhupada says, one who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that anyone who is engaged in that way is a liberated person. I think if I understood, this is 10.3, the prophet says. 10.3. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sin. So one is free from illusion by knowing Krishna and by acting upon this knowledge by serving him. How is one freed already? Well, one is not creating any karma. And the result in the end of these activities will be that we will go back to Krishna. That this is a liberated activity. Even though, you know, we see the devotees many times still very much in the bodily concept of life. When we go on day-to-day basis, you know, we are very much in the bodily concept of life. But if we surrender to this idea of practicing devotional service, then even though we are on the bodily concept of life, we are not acting on the bodily concept of life. We are not acting on that platform. When we go for darshan, it's not an activity on the bodily platform. When we participate in kirtan, it's not an activity on the bodily platform. So, of course, our consciousness may be more or less covered, but the activity itself is directly a spiritual activity. It's not an activity on the bodily platform. So everything is spiritualized by the process of bhakti and puts us in a completely different platform of existence. In the sense that you will be more convinced to directly engage in the processes, you know, you may choose to serve Krishna in different ways. Someone who is completely convinced in general will manage his life sooner or later to be always engaged in devotional service and have nothing to do with the material world at all. He will serve, you know, try to be completely engaged either in the service of the deity or in preaching, in something which has to do directly with cultivating Krishna consciousness in himself, in others. Yeah, somebody in the bodily concept of life can also engage in that. But he may or may not have the determination because the enlightenment is not there. So he may or may not have the determination. Like we see many devotees in the beginning, they come to Krishna consciousness and for some time they engage directly in serving Krishna 24 hours a day. And then after some time, you know, they feel the need, they feel insecurity, they feel insecure, they don't know what's going to happen after that, they don't trust that Krishna will actually protect them, and so on. So that's because the bodily concept of life is still too strong, still too much, too heavy on them. So it becomes difficult to just believe, you know, that you just engage in Krishna's service and everything is okay. But when one is engaged, whether you are in bodily concept of life or not, the activity is spiritual. And the result of the activity is spiritual. So as long as we can engage in devotional service, then we should. All right, what more? We can read the last chapter of this, the last paragraph of this purport. The Sanskrit word anasuyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna. So here, Prabhupada is talking of the speakers of Bhagavad Gita and the commentators on Bhagavad Gita. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately because they are envious of Krishna. Their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. So such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be beneficial. So this is the essence of these chapters, hearing and association. And then the other processes will be also presented. But without this aspect of association and hearing, there is no practice of this process. So I think that's all what we will do today.